Hi, I'm Daniel Lenzian, host of Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios. Western New York Soundstage is a podcast that looks to explore Western New York's creative economy through a series of conversations with artists, musicians, producers, directors, and authors from Western New York and beyond. On today's episode, I speak with Jonathan Borden. Jonathan Borden has been a member of the Buffalo Philharmonic Orchestra's double bass section since January 2014. Along with concertmaster Nikki Choi, Borden hosts BPO Up Close, a unique, intimate concert series that offers informal insight and backstory to short classical works with audiences seated around the orchestra. BPO Up Close Spirit of Innovation will be presented on Wednesday, January 28th, 2026 at 7 p.m. BPO Up Close Musical Machinery will be presented on Wednesday, April 29th, 2026 at 7 p.m. at Kleinhans Music Hall. Tickets are available at bpo.org and in the show notes. In this interview, Jonathan and I talk about inspiration, education, and the importance of audiences. I hope you enjoy my conversation with Jonathan. Jonathan Borden, thank you so much for chatting with me today. How are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Good. I'm doing really well.
Happy to be here.
I always like to start these interviews by asking, is there a story from your youth that relates to what you do now?
Definitely. You know, you don't get into the orchestral musician business without, you know, having a few, you know, formative stories. Just, you know, kind of immense moments on stage playing with youth groups, that sort of thing. You know, for a long time, I didn't really care very much for playing bass and playing in orchestras. But when I was, must've been a sophomore in high school, I was at some, you know, we like to call them orchestra festivals, but they're really band camp. I was at some orchestra festival. We were playing Beethoven 9. This was a piece that, it's an immense piece of music. I was not qualified to play it, let's say that much, but it's a very challenging piece. But like seeing all these other people around me take it so seriously and having just a challenging thing to do where I really felt like, okay, I need to do my part. That's kind of like the orchestral mentality is feeling like you have to like kind of be part of, do your part, be a good part of the machine. And that was pretty formative for me, where from that point on, it was like, you know, actually there's a lot here. This music is really rich, and you know, you have these really personal experiences with these pieces. Part of it is just playing in an ensemble. It's that surround sound effect of just, it's so loud. And it's from that point on, it was like, not only do I need to pursue this, but like, I need to help other people hear what I hear.
Thank you. You know, it's been 10 years that you've been with the BPO. I'd love to know, maybe personally or on the sort of level of the BPO, like, and this is a question about your musicianship, like what's shifted and what's changed since you joined the organization?
That's a really great question. When I first joined, I was quite young. I was 21 years old, straight out of school, you know, doughy-eyed. you know, there's, I'd say that over time, you know, I've become a little bit more efficient, let's say, with my preparation. You know, the demands of the job are such that we play, I think it's something like 130 concerts a year. So, you know, you have to learn a lot of music in a short amount of time. I rely on my colleagues more. I think when I first joined, I was very much like audition focused, you know, what's the next, you know, orchestra that I can join. And, you know, I took a few auditions that didn't go my way, but, you know, since then I've developed roots in Buffalo. I've invested more here, and I've grown an affinity for the region and for the people that live here and the orchestra, and really kind of feel like more and more every year that it's my home. And so like that changes a little bit, I think, how I play, how I, you know, subtly, you know, how I play and what I feel like I can bring to the table for for the orchestra.
You know, you mentioned that you were quite young when you joined the organization. I guess I'm interested, like, how, like, can you walk us through sort of a typical week with the BPO, how often you practice, and how has practice shifted for you since joining the organization?
A typical week would be, you know, we would rehearse 4 or 5 times. It depends on the program. You know, if we're playing a challenging program of some of the hardest pieces in the repertoire, we'll have 4 or 5 rehearsals for the 2 performances that we'll give. But, you know, we don't just do that. Obviously, we do lots of other kinds of performances. You know, this we're talking right now in Christmas time. That Christmas time is its own beast, because, you know, we will play a lot. You know, there's a lot of demand for some good old Christmas music. And so we will, you know, sometimes we'll rehearse just once for like several different shows. You know, we have one program that will take, you know, we played at St. Mary's School for the Deaf, and then we're going to play it again at Canisius High School, and then we'll play it several times in our hall. And you know, we'll have one rehearsal. We had that rehearsal back before Thanksgiving, and then you just have to be able to like know it well enough. And the, you know, the more time you spend in the orchestra, the more that you get used to those kinds of programs. And a lot of this music is stuff we've played before. So it's not all brand new. There is some like routine to it. I like to say that like you're trained for like the hardest case scenario as to be an orchestral musician. So like if we play, you know, Sleigh Ride as an example, you know, like we're all trained to play like some of the hardest repertoire known for our instruments. So Sleigh Ride is a relatively easy thing for us. And so we all have like kind of like a professional sports team. Like we just know the language of music so well that like we can put things together like pretty quickly, you know? So, you know, if the Bills are like getting ready for the Bengals this weekend, as an example, like, and the coaching staff says like, oh, we want to focus more on our run game or something like that, and they introduce some new things, it's still within the language of football, and those guys are pros and they can pick it up quickly. And it's the same for us. You know, you throw something at us that's new or different or something we're more familiar with, like on pretty short order, there's a lot of just like skill and expertise that's on stage well before that first rehearsal that puts us at a huge advantage, you know?
Yeah, no, that was a great way of kind of describing kind of what the process and the rehearsal process and just the process of being a professional orchestral musician really is. You mentioned earlier some formative experiences kind of at the sort of secondary school education level or maybe even middle school education level. I know that you are on the orchestra's education committee. Can you tell us a little bit about that and why it's important?
Oh, I think it's the whole ballgame is like how well we can inspire the next generation, keep our art form alive, but not just our art form as classical music specifically, but just like live performance, you know, musical proficiency, I'll call it, you know, like how well are people in our society able to enjoy, talk about, discuss music generally, you know, and classical music is just one piece of that. And I'm pretty involved in many of the facets of the orchestra, but the education committee was the first kind of extracurricular thing that I did, because I enjoy teaching. I do teach privately, and you know, like it's part of that mission that I had after some of that, like that one formative experience that I told you about, which is like, it was never just about like how well can I play Beethoven. It was like, how can I get other people to enjoy something like Beethoven in the same way that I do? It's a challenging thing because a lot of people have a lot of, you know, preconceived notions, or they don't have access to, you know, the music at all. You know, I recognize that in my background, you know, I was kind of surrounded by it for quite a while before I actually started to step back and be like, hey, actually this stuff is pretty great, you know. I kind of rejected it for a while, and so that access piece is like critical. So how the orchestra can be involved in music education to help proliferate music education in the community, I think we have a really big role to play as like the professional resident orchestra in town, and so like, you know, it's I want to be a part of those efforts.
Can you tell us a little bit about the BPO Up Close series?
Yeah, of course. So BPO Up Close is kind of like my dream show for like, are you interested, somewhat interested in classical music, but you don't know where to start? Like, come to this show. This is the place to be. You know, having been in the business now for long enough and having thought about, you know, how to get more people interested in this, you know, I recognize that the BPO has some, not just BPO, but just or how classical music is presented generally has some drawbacks for some people. You know, concerts can be on the lengthier side. They can have a little bit of, you know, we work to diminish this, but sometimes people can feel unwelcome at a classical music concert. A lot of people feel intimidated by the music and feel like they need a lot of education or, you know, some level of sophistication in order to appreciate the music. And I just like reject that wholeheartedly. Mm-hmm. I think that, you know, this music can speak to anybody. But I do recognize that it does need to be presented in a certain light. I think, you know, the environment in which you might encounter this music can affect greatly your likelihood of, you know, falling in love with something. So what these shows are our remedy for that. You know, they're a shorter length. It's about an hour long. It is in our Mary Seton room, which is across from the main hall. And what we do is there's kind of a bit of like spectacle too, as a way to kind of get people interested is, you know, the up close nature of it. We're going to have the orchestra mostly kind of in the round. So people don't normally get to experience the orchestra that close. And there's a proximity effect to an orchestra playing. Like, I think a lot of the reason that musicians are so in love with this art form is because like what I had when I was a kid is just that, like, it's that surround sound effect, that proximity effect. So we want to give listeners, concert goers, that experience. And then I do like a little bit of like emceeing, you know. So you know, it's an unconducted orchestra, and you know, I'm kind of walking around the room, like helping share little tidbits of information about the pieces that we just played or are about to play. And that comes from my work on the education committee and just my education work in general. You know, what are the hooks that you can give people to latch on to a certain aspect of the music? You know, there's a little bit of the issue with a normally presented classical music concert is that like conductor walks out on stage and then bam, we're off to the races. And if you don't know what's going on, then you better figure it out, you know? And so there's a real like art form to like, what kind of information am I going to give you before we play this snippet of music that's going to, so that you can start listening for that, you know, being a little bit more active, a participant in the process. So this concert is kind of like, trying to do a lot of all of that and more in like a succinct experience that we hope, you know, if you are that target, you know, curious about classical music listener, but don't know where to start, that like after coming to that concert, you're going to feel a lot more engaged and maybe at home in client hands, and, you know, and then come to, you know, some of our bigger concerts. If, you know, we'll play some Beethoven on this one in January, for example, and we'll be playing the rest of Beethoven 5 later on the season. You might now, I hope you might be more interested in checking out that and feel a little bit more part of what we can offer. So that's kind of like what we're trying to, it's a lot of stuff that we're trying to do with it.
You know, I always say to people about kind of orchestral music and live music that it really is a vibrational experience as opposed to maybe what they'll hear in their earbud or kind of even from a, you know, a great sound system at home. Like, it really is different. Can you talk about how, like, even maybe how much more different it is having listeners kind of around and sort of almost as if they're collaborators with the orchestra in the BPO Up Close concerts?
I love the way you put that, like collaborators with the orchestra. I'll tell you that as a musician, when we play and, you know, client hands is a big space. So it's not often that we have, you know, lots of people up close to us. Cause the truth is that client hands, the closest seats aren't necessarily the best, both acoustically and visually, you know, you're a little bit limited. But when that happens and we feel the presence of a lot of people in the room with us, there's, I think the most special part of any performance, whether it's classical music or anything else, is the communal aspect of it. You feel like everyone else is witnessing this like special, unique, one-time event with you. And it's a completely different experience than if you're on your own, you know? I mean, it's, I think, one of the greatest strengths of live classical performances or live performances generally. I mean, the music is so fantastic, but that communal aspect. So at Up Close, it's a smaller room. So, you know, the musicians and people are going to be sitting quite close to us. And musicians feel that, and we play differently. It's challenging to describe, but like, I don't think I'm alone among my colleagues of having a little bit of like a chip on our shoulder for like wanting more people to like feel what we feel and love what we love. And so like, this is a little bit of an opportunity for us to be like, no, check this out, you know, check out like this, you know, and there's something very exciting about that. And I think, you know, we had our first performance of this last year, and, you know, I've been playing with this orchestra for a long time, and every once in a while, the orchestra really kind of like lights up and becomes electric and really unifies. And I felt like that was one of those times last year, and I'm confident it'll happen again. It's just like that. It's like an opportunity for us to like really show, you know, what we're capable of and what the music can do. So it's a special experience, no doubt.
You did one of these performances last year. I'm so interested to know, were you able to hear from any audience members? What was their reaction?
Yeah. So part of the experience too, I should have mentioned this earlier, is that like we encourage musicians and audience members to hang out afterward. You know, we want it to be kind of like a full entertainment experience, and not just a purely musical one. So I, of course, it being our debut show, forced all my friends to come, and got to chatting with a lot of them in our lobby after the concert. And I mean, the feedback was so positive. It was exactly what I was kind of hoping for, is people who, you know, skew younger, who were a little bit, you know, felt a little bit out of touch with what the BPO does, you know, people saying like, these are the kinds of shows that I would come to on the regular, you know, like I felt like I learned some things. I felt like I connected with the music in ways that I hadn't before. You know, one thing that I tried to do last year, and I'm going to try to do again this year, is we showed a lot of different kinds of music. Classical music has a little bit of a branding problem in that, like, it's not just one style of music. It's like 500 years and counting worth of different styles of music. So I wanted to show that audience, like, you know, maybe you'll like Mozart, but you might not like Sibelius, or you might not like Shostakovich, but you know, and it's okay to not like some of these other things. Like, so find your jams, so to speak. And then, you know, here are some other concerts that we're doing this season that have that different kind of music. So I think, you know, if you're like thinking about going to a concert and you like the idea of getting to like chat up musicians over a beer afterward, like, this is definitely the concert for you.
You know, I just want to sort of tap on this really quickly, because we are sort of running out of time, and I have two more questions. So the first is, like, I was looking kind of online, and you sort of verbally said this, and it's kind of in the program note. But one thing I think is so powerful with the program notes that I saw online was there was a sort of like, if you enjoyed this piece, you'll love in the rest of the season. And I just think that that's so smart. Can you talk to me a little bit about the reason why that's part of the program notes, or why you're kind of doing that for people?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like, it's kind of what I was just saying about, like, there's so many different parts of the repertoire. And so, you know, it's hard for us as an orchestral institution that plays so many different concerts a year to help everyone like figure out, you know, and like, where do you even start? You know, like, we give 18 classics performances a year with wildly different programming, you know? I mean, like, we just did, you know, a Schumann symphony, which is like this kind of typical romantic style 19th century music, but, you know, in the beginning of January, we'll be playing a lot of Mozart, which is just like this high classicism, and they're very different. And you know, like, the musicians don't love every composer out there, right? Like, even though this is our profession, like, for example, like, I absolutely hate Bruckner with every part of my being. Like, I can't stand that composer at all. But I love Stravinsky, and I love Mahler, and I love Beethoven, and I love Prokofiev, and, you know, like, I obviously love more composers than I hate composers. But, you know, like, that's tough for people to find. So, like, this kind of wine tasting concert that we give, you know, we're not literally giving a wine tasting, but the selection of repertoire is kind of like that. It's like, okay, if you like this, then you'll probably like these other things.
Well, and isn't a part of this too, like, sort of, that's one of the amazing things about, I think, all the programming at the BPO is that, like, it's always varied and kind of speaks to each other. But you can say, like, oh, I was really feeling that, and that kind of left me cold, but this was on. And, like,
yeah,
intentionality kind of in the different flavors of program that allow you to say, oh, I love this, maybe that, like, and that's kind of a part of, and the conversation afterwards is as important as the experience of kind of being there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, like, I want to help people avoid a situation in which they go to a concert, they're giving us a shot for their first time in a while, and it's a composer that just doesn't speak to them. Like, you know, I love that they're there, but, like, I want to help them find what speaks to them the best. Fantastic. You know, and these concerts are a good way to do that. You know, we'll also, this is maybe perhaps unofficial, but we'll also be kind of debuting, like, a live program note functionality. So this is something that I've been working on privately, that, you know, if you use a QR code on your phone, you'll get live updates about the music as it's happening, which will say, like, oh, listen now to the cellos, listen now to the oboes playing this theme, things like that. So it's a cool little, like, side project of mine, but I think it will work really well for that environment, as we're trying to steer people towards, you know, elements of the music to help them make those connections. So
my final question, right, after 10 years of being with the BPO, why is the BPO so special, and why is it so important to have in Buffalo?
You know, like, it's hard for people to understand, because, like, you can't live in different cities at the same time. Well, I guess a lot of people live in Florida at the same time, but, you know, like, not every city has a cultural institution like this. You know, there are cities bigger than Buffalo that don't have full-time resident orchestras. And there's a history here of, like, preserving an orchestra institution. And, you know, in full honesty, I didn't join the orchestra knowing any of that. I was just in school. There was a job opening. I wanted to take auditions. Finding work is hard. But so I landed a job here, and I didn't, you know, as I started learning, it's like, you know, this has been upkept by generations of people to ensure that, you know, this orchestra and this hall are kept alive, and that we can provide music for a whole host of populations in Western New York. And so, you know, that's not something to take for granted, I think. And, you know, I'm proud to, you know, play my small part in trying to kind of keep it alive, and you know, not just the orchestra, but the art form as much as I can. So, yeah.
You know, I always like to end my interviews by asking, is there anything you feel was left unsaid, or anything that you feel like you want to share with our listeners? And it's okay if it's not, but I like to just leave the door open in case we miss something.
I guess all I would say is, like, come check us out. You know, we're a good time. It's, you know, the people in the orchestra, they live here. They all came to Buffalo for this art form. You know, we're all, like, really committed and sacrificed a lot to have these careers, and you know, it's a real treat. So please come to concerts, and if you do, come say hi to me. I like meeting anybody who's willing to come talk to me. And thank you very much for letting me you know, espouse what we do at the BPO.
That's my pleasure. Thanks so much. Have a great day, and we'll see you at a BPO up close in the new year.
Awesome.
Take care.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Jonathan Borden. BPO Up Close, Spirit of Innovation will be presented on Wednesday, January 28th, 2026, and BPO Up Close, Musical Machinery will be presented Wednesday, April 29th, 2026 at 7 p.m., both at Kleinhans Music Hall. Tickets are available at bpo.org and in the show notes. This episode was produced by Jessica Marinelli. Sarah Potter engineered this episode. In addition to this podcast, you can check out our local event guides posted bi-monthly on buffalorising.com. Make sure you subscribe to the show. If you like this show, please recommend it to a friend. Thanks for listening to Western New York Soundstage from Buffalo Rising and Local Matters Studios.